I invite you to open your Bible to Leviticus chapter 8, verse number 18, where we want to pick up today. We're smack dab in the middle of the ordination ceremony of High Priest Aaron and his associate priests, his sons, on the very first day that the tabernacle was set up and dedicated. This is the first day of the first Jewish month of the second year of the Exodus. We're not very many days from the first year anniversary of their release from Egypt under the mighty hand of God. So they've manufactured the tabernacle. They've set it up after Moses had inspected all the pieces and approved of them. And God has now spoken to Moses from inside of the completed sanctuary and told him it's now time to begin this worship ritual process. And we had already talked earlier what the dedication ceremony would look like for the priests, and we know it involved three different animal sacrifices. And we closed up yesterday with the first of those animal sacrifices. It's a bull that is offered for the sin of Aaron and his associate priests, his sons, and it is effectively all burned up. Parts of it are burned up on the altar in front of the tabernacle building, and the rest of it is taken away to a clean place outside the camp and burned up. And so it is the removal of sin as an obstacle to the ordination of Aaron and his sons. And with that being said, let's go ahead and pick up in Leviticus chapter number 8, verse 18, with the second of the three sacrifices that ordain Aaron and his sons to the priesthood. Verse 18, Then he presented the ram of the burnt offering, and Aaron and his sons laid their hands on the head of the ram, and he killed it, and Moses threw the blood against the sides of the altar. And that's exactly what he was supposed to do. He cut the ram into pieces, and Moses burned the head and the pieces and the fat. He washed the entrails and the legs with water, and then Moses burned the whole ram on the altar. It was a burnt offering with a pleasing aroma, a food offering for he who is, as he who is commanded Moses. So this is God's portion of the fellowship meal on this ordination day. Because in the customs of the ancient world, in the custom of the ancient Middle East, you always seal a deal with a meal. And everybody eats that's been involved in the agreement. And so God is being given his symbolic portion with the burning up of this first animal. Now we're ready for animal number 3, verse 2. Then he presented the other ram, the ram of ordination, and Aaron and his sons laid their hands on the head of the ram, and he killed it. And Moses took some of its blood and put it on the lobe of Aaron's right ear, and on the thumb of his right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot. And then he presented Aaron's sons, and Moses put some of the blood on the lobes of their right ears, and on the thumbs of their right hands, and on the big toes of their right feet. And then Moses threw the blood against the sides of the altar. And even though it doesn't specify the meaning of the symbolism here in the text, or anywhere else in inspired scripture, it's pretty clear with the understanding of the Hebrew culture. The ear, of course, is what we use to hear. And when we hear, we're supposed to obey. You know how in the New Testament, Jesus says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." That's a very Jewish sort of way of saying you need to do what you're told. So the ears are marked to show that from here on out, anything the priests are told, they're supposed to do it for God because God told them to do it. Obedience. The thumb is what allows us to grab a hold of things with our hand. And it symbolizes, of course, what we do for God. So the priests are being set aside with anything they put their hands to, they do it for the Lord. And then, of course, feet are what we walk with. That's where the big toe is located. And walking was always symbolic of your life. You walked through your life, moment by moment, step by step. And so they're marking their feet to show that their lives, their day-to-day moment, the path that they walk, is going to be done for God because they are His priests, and that's their responsibility. And the application to our New Testament period, very easily done. We need to listen and obey God in everything. We need to take hold and do with all our might anything He gives us to do. And we need to walk daily by the power of the Holy Spirit and walk in His way. We need to walk like Jesus walked, as John writes in his first epistle. All right, so the rest of this is mentioned in verse 25, that He took the fat and the fat tail and all the fat that was on the entrails and the long lobe of the liver and the two kidneys with their fat and their right thigh. And out of the basket of unleavened bread that was before He who is, He took one unleavened loaf and one loaf of bread with oil and one wafer and placed them on the pieces of the fat and on the right thigh. He put all these in the hands of Aaron and in the hands of the sons and waved them as a wave offering before He who is. And then Moses took them from their hands and burned them on the altar with the burnt offering. This was an ordination offering with a pleasing aroma, a food offering to He who is. Now, this parallels sacrifices made in the future anyway. When a sacrifice is made, there's always a portion of it that is given to God. Because remember, you seal the deal with a meal. And so if you are offering to God a sacrifice and you're going to eat part of it yourself, then God has to be given His portion. So this is the very first part as Aaron and his sons are getting ready to become priests for the very first time. A meal is part of the deal. And so they give of their ordination ram a certain part for God to have. Moses took the breast and he waved it for a wave offering before He who is. It was Moses' portion of the ram of ordination as He who is commanded Moses. Again, this actually is a precursor to what's going to be the normal procedure for priests. The officiating priest of any sacrifice that's going to be eaten by the sacrificer, the officiating priest always gets his portion from the work that he's doing because he's a participant in the making of the deal. So in this case, Moses gets a part of the brisket, the breast area of this ram, and he'll be eating that later today. Verse number 30. Then Moses took some of the anointing oil and the blood that was on the altar, and he sprinkled it on Aaron and his garments and also on his sons and his sons' garments. And so he consecrated Aaron and his garments and his sons and his sons' garments with him. So the marking of the blood on the earlobe, the thumb, and the big toe, that's only part of the blood that is used in the ordination ceremony as far as the people are concerned. Moses now takes that sprinkling thing and does even more of this dedication ceremony. Verse 31, Moses said to Aaron and his sons, "Boil the flesh at the entrance of the tent of meeting, and there eat it, and the bread that's in the basket of the ordination offerings, as I commanded, saying, Aaron and his sons shall eat it. And what remains of the flesh and the bread you shall burn up with fire. and you shall not go outside the entrance of the tent of meeting for 7 days until the days of your ordination are completed, for it will take 7 days to ordain you. So this is where we find out that the priestly ordination ceremony is apparently going to be repeated for 7 days in a row. And only after they've done it 7 days in a row will they be officially ordained as priests. And they have to stay in the encampment of the tabernacle, that is, inside the tabernacle boundaries, during this ordination period. And every day, what they don't eat of their share of the ordination ceremonies, they're supposed to burn up. It sounds very similar to the Passover. It's a one meal, and the rest is done away with, and you start fresh. So the reason I'm emphasizing this is because something's going to happen during this ordination ceremony that's going to cause trouble. And it's related to the meal. And I'll try to remind you of this when we get there later. Verse number 34, as has been done today, he who is commanded to be done to make atonement for you. At the entrance of the tent of meeting, you shall remain day and night for 7 days, performing what he who is has charged, so that you do not die, for so I have commanded. And so Aaron and his sons did all the things that he who is was commanded by Moses. So the process of dedication has now started for Aaron and his sons. And it will now go on for 7 days. And then the eighth day is going to be the wrap-up day. And it's also the wrap-up day for the dedication of the tabernacle itself. And this is the reason why there are 8 days in Hanukkah, which is the rededication celebration that was done by famous Judas Maccabee in 164 BC. That'd be December of 164. Because the ceremony for rededication of the temple is always 8 days long. It's 8 days here, it's 8 days for the temple of Solomon, and it will be 8 days for the rededication of the temple in the days of Judas Maccabee. At this point, let's jump back to Numbers chapter 7. And I'm sorry for having to bounce you around a little bit. We're in a situation where Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers, all three, have different details, information about what happened on these days. And if we're going to do a good summary of them all, we need to read the different places. So you might remember in Numbers chapter 7, the first few verses, that the heads of Israel, that is the tribal leaders, the 12 tribal leaders, have been bringing special gifts that are going to be used in the tabernacle as it is started. In fact, why don't we go ahead and just read from verse 1 again. Numbers chapter 7, on the day when Moses had finished setting up the tabernacle and had anointed it and consecrated it with all its furnishings and had anointed and consecrated the altar with all its utensils, the chiefs of Israel, heads of their fathers' houses, who were the chiefs of the tribes, who were over those who were listed, approached. And they brought their offerings before he who is, 6 wagons and 12 oxen, a wagon for each 2 of the chiefs, and for each one an ox, and they brought them before the tabernacle. So the gifts are placed in these wagons, and the wagons are drawn by 2 oxen. And each wagon is going to be offered on behalf of 2 tribes. And so it's probable that the tribe of Judah, which is going to be the first one, brings the wagon loaded with his gift on day number one that we're about to read. And then on day number two, Issachar comes forward with all of his stuff in a wagon. But the end result is, by the time everything's finished, all 12 tribes have presented special gifts of dedication by the means of 6 wagons and 12 oxen. All right, so verse number 4. He who is said to Moses, accept these from them that they may be used in the service of the tent of meeting, and give them to the Levites, to each man according to his service. So Moses took the wagons and the oxen and gave them to the Levites. 2 wagons and 4 oxen he gave to the sons of Gershon according to their service. 4 wagons and 8 oxen he gave to the sons of Merari according to their service, under the direction of Ithamar, the son of Aaron, the priest. But to the sons of Kohath he gave none, because they were charged with the service of the holy things that had to be carried on the shoulder. So we find out that some of these wagons are going to end, or these wagons, I should say, are going to be used by the Levitical family groups to transport holy things like the poles and the utensils and the tent coverings and all of those things, the fabric walls. All of that's going to be packed up and transported from place to place in these wagons. And that's what their purpose is. But the holy objects that have poles, the sons of Kohath are going to be in charge of carrying those, so they don't need any wagons. Verse number 10 now. The chiefs offered offerings for the dedication of the altar on the day it was anointed, and the chiefs offered their offerings before the altar. And he who is said to Moses, they shall offer their offerings, 1 chief each day for the dedication of the altar. He who offered his offering the first day was Nashon, the son of Amminadab of the tribe of Judah. And we see his name in the lists of leaders elsewhere. He is the senior leader of the Judah tribe. And you might recognize his name from the New Testament, because this man is in the direct line of heritage that brings David into existence. And then from there, going through Solomon, it keeps on going until Joseph, the husband of Mary, is a direct descendant of this particular man. Now, the breakpoint for Jesus through Mary is at Solomon and his brother, Nathan, I believe. Jesus, in the flesh, was not a descendant of Solomon. He was of David, but he came physically through a brother of Solomon. And so this is a common ancestor then to David and Solomon, Solomon's brother, Joseph, and Mary through 2 different lines. Now, what did he bring as the leader of the Judah tribe? Well, he brings the exact same thing that every leader brings. It's apparently a predetermined gift. Verse 13, his offering was 1 silver plate whose weight was 130 shekels and a silver basin of 70 shekels according to the shekel of the sanctuary, both of them full of fine flour mixed with oil for a grain offering. 1 golden dish of 10 shekels full of incense, 1 bull from the herd, 1 ram, 1 male lamb a year old for a burnt offering, 1 male goat for a sin offering, and for the sacrifice of peace offerings, 2 oxen, 5 rams, 5 male goats, and 5 male lambs a year old. This was the offering of Nashon, the son of Amminadab. Excuse me. And as I said, this offering is going to be offered every day for 12 days, just from different leaders of different tribes. And we'll kind of repeat some of those as we go forward. I want now to go ahead and jump ahead, since we don't need to read all the days at this particular point. Jump ahead to Numbers chapter 8, verse number 5, where it says, "And he who is spoke to Moses, saying, take the Levites from among the people of Israel and cleanse them. Thus you shall do to them to cleanse them. Sprinkle the water of purification on them and let them go with a razor over their bodies and wash their clothes and cleanse themselves." So the Levites are those men from the tribe of Levi who are not from the family of Aaron, because Aaron's family is going to be the priests. They're going to be the ones offering the sacrifices. But the Levites are going to be in support of the priests. And so all these guys that carry the tabernacle equipment and take care of keeping the tabernacle clean and bringing the ashes out and carrying away all the junk that is produced and taking care of all the clothing that the priests are going to go through as they do their work. These guys who are in the support service are now being dedicated to that support service. So we've got a lot of ordinations happening on this day. Verse number 8. "Then let them take a bull from the herd and its grain offering, a fine flour mixed with oil. You should take another bull from the herd for a sin offering. And you shall bring the Levites before the tent of meeting and assemble the whole congregation of the people of Israel. When you bring the Levites before he who is, the people of Israel shall lay their hands on the Levites, and Aaron shall offer the Levites before he who is as a wave offering from the people of Israel, that they may do the service of he who is." Now, what's going on here? The people of Israel are going to acknowledge that the Levites are going to provide ongoing support service to the priests on behalf of the people. So you basically have a dedicated service tribe. They will be God's workers on behalf of all the other Israelis. So you effectively have here the sense of clergy and laity. Clergy, in the terminology we use, are those who are professionally dedicated to God work. That's the priests and the Levites. And then the laity is everybody else who have asked them to do that and support them in doing that. When the rest of the people pay their tithes, they will give their tithes to these Levites, because the Levites are working for them. Verse number 12. "Then the Levites shall lay their hands on the heads of the bulls, and you shall offer the one for a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering for he who is to make atonement for the Levites. And you shall set the Levites before Aaron and his sons and shall offer them as a wave offering to he who is. Thus you shall separate the Levites from among the people of Israel, and the Levites shall be mine. And after that, the Levites shall go in to serve at the tent of meeting when you have cleansed them and offered them as a wave offering, for they are wholly given to me from among the people of Israel. Instead of all who open the womb, the firstborn of all the people of Israel, I have taken them from myself. For all the firstborn among the people of Israel are mine, both of man and of beast. And on the day that I struck down all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I consecrated them for myself. And I have taken the Levites instead of all the firstborn among the people of Israel. And I have given the Levites as a gift to Aaron and his sons from among the people of Israel, and to do the service for the people of Israel at the tent of meeting, and to make atonement for the people of Israel, that there may be no plague among the people of Israel when the people of Israel come near the sanctuary." So again, we talked about this concept several episodes ago, is that the firstborn of all the Israeli tribes were redeemed from death by God during the first Passover. So they technically belong to God. And if he wanted to, he could have said every firstborn male is an automatic priest. He has to work in the tabernacle. But instead, God chooses to go this substitution route. That one tribe, the Levitical tribe, is going to do that service. And everybody else will redeem their firstborn sons by giving annually to the support of the Levites in their work, as well as giving their tithes to the support of the Levites doing their work. And then that frees up the firstborns of all the other tribal groups to pursue their own lives. So it's a dedicated ministry is what we're talking about here. Instead of every firstborn son entering the ministry, you have specific people that volunteer to do that in their place. And in this case, it was an entire tribe. It's an interesting substitution example. Verse number 20, thus did Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the people of Israel to the Levites, according to all that he who is commanded Moses, concerning the Levites, the people of Israel did to them. And so the Levites purified themselves from sin, washed their clothes, and Aaron offered them as a wave offering before he who is, and Aaron made atonement for them to cleanse them. So they basically go through the same sort of ceremony that Aaron and his sons went through. There's a sin sacrifice made on their behalf, and then there's also a sacrifice made of ordination, and they will be eating part of that as a meal. They'll be giving a representative portion to God to show they understand they're entering into an arrangement that has them accountable to God for following through with. Well, we're out of time, so we'll kind of jump back into this the next time we get into God's Word.